Now, don't go away, because next on CBS Radio's Comedy Time are those two zany characters of many characters, Bob and Ray. And now, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network. I acted the program, ride home, and Betty bye-bye.
I miss not having Wallace here to seat the audience in the proper position and have them take their positions.
It's just time. Extra work for us, but really he was a distracting feature here in the studio. He was so bellicose, and I think that he's better off where he is, Bob.
Well, he's doing a fine job on the trophy train, which incidentally will be pulling into another city tomorrow, I think, or the next day, and we'll be reporting on it from there.
Then, take your mail, Bob and Ray.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So we are getting a lot of mail from you folks in college and high schools suggesting that we have Natalie Tired sing the lyrics, say the lyrics to your college or high school song. Wake up. And we'd like to hear from more of you, and I think Natalie is going to be here Friday, isn't she?
Well, I'm sorry, Bob, I wasn't listening, I was asleep.
Natalie's going to be here Friday?
Yes, she'll be here Friday, and she's going to say a song of some school or college. And if you'd like her to say your particular school's song, then drop a note to Natalie, explain why, and send the words, too, because some of those songs are... shall we say,
way out.
Way, way gone, and not published as such, so she'd have a little difficulty getting the words, so include them, if you would, please.
But we would like to hear from you.
Bob, I'd like to deposit 10 cents in the Bob and Ray telescopes over there by the window and see what's going on in New York tonight. Beautiful picture went on a beautiful night. Now, let's see. Set the telescope on number 4. Tell me what you see, Bob.
Right. I see 46th Street, Madison Avenue, known among the advertising folk as Layout Alley.
Anything else, Bob?
Yes, an automobile with a telescope mounted on top of it. And the telescope is pointed this way.
Wave your hand, Bob.
All right. A signal of some sort?
Yeah, I met the owner of the car with the telescope mounted on top of it. His name is Charles Munger.
Oh, yeah.
And I've invited him up here. Is he coming, Bob?
Yeah, he waved back a second ago. He started toward the building. Yeah.
He was kind of interested in our setup up here and asked to see it. Can you still see him?
I'll need another dime for the telescope. Just ran out.
No need for that. He'll be here in a second.
Is that Mr. Munger coming down the aisle now?
Yeah, that's him. Hi, Mr. Munger. Up here, sir.
Okay.
Well, hello there, sir.
Mind if I look at that baby you got set up at your window?
No, not at all.
What does this baby weigh?
Well, I think the gross weight of our telescope is indicated near the base.
Now, look. There she is. Say, do you know what the gross weight of your baby is?
No, Mr. Munger, I don't.
38 pounds. Baby like that would get blown off the top of my car. What's your baby like in the vertical swingage department? How many degrees does she pull?
Oh, I think the information is on a plate on the side of the telescope.
Oh, let's see. Hey, you know what the vertical swingage is on your baby?
No, what is it?
Paltry 12 degrees. My baby pulls 38 degrees vertical.
Well, Mr. Munger, if I'd known you were going to come here and demean our telescope.
I know that you don't even have a lens guard on your baby. And I see you got to go by the numbers when you look through your baby. And I'll bet your baby doesn't even have crosshairs on the lens.
Well, I had noticed, but I'll look now and put a dime in it.
Well, your telescope is a real ratty one up here. I just thought I'd come up and look over the competition. Now that I've seen it, I'm not worried. My mobile telescope beats this fixed job in every respect.
Except in one respect, Mr. Munger. This fixed job, as you call it, is set at number 4, and as nearly as I can make out, your mobile baby's been stolen.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice man.
Oh,
very pleasant.
Personable fella, but he did hold our telescope up to ridicule. Yeah. Hope he finds it. Hey, did we want to mention this show here?
The Funny Bob Side Ray Up.
Funny Side Up, the Bob and Ray Show, and Funny Side Up.
It's yeah.
A show on CBS Radio. It features Hermione Gingold, Kenny Del Mar, Parker Fennelly, and Bert Parks.
What does Bert do on the show?
I think he selects Miss America.
He's kind of holds it all together, I guess, huh?
With what?
The show.
Oh, I see. Well, anyway, Funny Side Up is heard every day here on CBS Radio. Give it a listen.
I am Mr. District Defender, protector of the innocent, implacable enemy of the hoaxer, the grifter, the con man, and all those who cheat an unwary public. I was in my office one day.
Then this man gave me all this cash I have here.
Just how much cash do you have there, Mrs. Porn?
$6,500, Mr. District Defender.
Is it all there, Mrs. Porn?
Yes, I counted it. Did I do something wrong, Mr. District Defender?
Well, no use crying over a spilt milk, but the right thing at the time would have been to insist that the man write you out a check.
But the money seems good, and he...
If only you'd come to this office before you'd completed your transaction, Mrs. Thorne, I might have been able to help.
Well, actually, the reason I'm here is because he paid me $1,700 too much. And it seemed a bit fishy to me.
Mrs. Thorne, you and the public must learn this. Get all transactions on paper. Once you do that, you protect yourself and place the hoaxer, the con man, the grifter, in an untenable position. Frankly, I don't know if there's much we can do for you.
You mean you've come across this kind of thing before?
Many times. The deal you're involved in, Mrs. Porn, is known as the real money dodge. It's one of the oldest dodges used by confidence men. And yet, there are so many people who fall for it. Did you get the man's name, Mrs. Porn?
Yes, his name is Edwin Carzall. And his place of business...
His place of business, indeed.
His place of business is at 350 Fifth Avenue.
Probably a non-existent address.
No, it's the Empire State Building.
Well, Mrs. Porn, let's see if he still has an office there.
And so, Mr. Carzall, Mr. District Defender here wanted to see you.
That's right, Chisler. First, Mrs. Thorne, give me the money Carzall gave you.
But,
Let's have it, Mrs. Thorne. Thank you. Now, Mrs. Thorne, how much money did Carzall overpay?
$1,700, Mr. District Defender. All I was supposed to get was $4,800.
All right. Carzall, I can't prosecute you because the money you gave Mrs. Thorne was real. But I'm going to return this $6,500 to you.
Well, I'm certainly glad you stopped by, Mr. District Defender.
And I want you to write a check made out to Mrs. Porn in the amount of $4,800.
But, Mr. District Defender...
Don't thank me, Mrs. Porn. I have a job to do, and luckily I was able to do it.
And here's your check for $4,800, Mrs. Porn.
Carzall, as I said before, I can't touch you. But get this, get it straight. You make another move like this, and you'll get leaned on. You'll get hit. You'll get hit hard.
Well, I hope he doesn't get hit as hard as I did, Mr. District Defender.
Get out of this place, Mrs. Porn. I need some fresh air.
Mr. District Defender, protector of the innocent, pursuer of the hoaxer, the con man, the grifter. I'm even sleepier now than I was at the beginning of the program, if
well,
you can believe it.
I tell you, Wally Blue can always wake you up. He got out of that bathysphere all right yesterday.
He did.
And
I never get another thought, Bob.
He headed right up to Turhan Bay, Maine, and Mary McGloon's Inn for a little rest.
Oh, good. Is he standing by now with a microphone?
I think he is, yes.
Okay. Wally Blue, come in, please, at Turhan Bay, Maine.
Standing by with my microphone here in this peaceful section of the coast of Maine. Standing, as I say, looking at the charred remains of what was once Barry Magoon's Inn. Just about 2 hours ago. Can I get some more wire through here, please?
The big warehouse in the back.
About 2 hours ago, the great old mansion, which Mary has for the past month been running as an inn, somehow caught fire. And I'm going to try and find out the story here because I sense there is one. Mary is distraught, as you can well imagine.
Oh, boy.
This has certainly been a shocking day for her, and one which called out the various fire departments of all the surrounding... hi, Barry. I wonder if in your grief you could manage a few words.
It's been wonderful. I don't think there'll be a thing left. I think the insurance company will have to call it a total wreck.
A total loss, is that right?
Yes, I have to get 100% on...
The fire started in the kitchen, didn't it?
Yes, well, that's where we put all the grease.
Certainly a sad occurrence.
Get out of the way. Let the men work.
Have a little more wire here, Eddie.
Too much smoke in there.
There's still plenty of smoke in there.
Well, we put an awful lot of grease.
And
a lot of cooking fat.
Was there anyone there?
Like that.
Here at the inn at the time?
I don't know, no. Oh, absolutely not. No.
I'm beginning to be infected by your happy frame of mind. It's really not so bad when you think about it.
No. Well, when you realize that I have put all my savings in this restaurant...
The roof is going, ladies and gentlemen. The roof is going.
All hands out of building.
Giving orders over there.
Your men, Lieutenant.
Coach Harry, O'Keefe, Giffen.
And what were you saying here, Wally?
I was distracted by the fire, but
Sanchez
is, I think... Everybody is turned out for help.
Sanchez, his father was a wonderful lobster fisherman.
He's not a full-time fireman, is he?
No. Well, as I was saying, you see, I put all my life savings in this inn.
And it heavily insured.
Yes, and well, I had to. And the business just was not there. And then I had that swinging trio come by, and they turned out to be 12 pieces, and they ruined all the business. So, naturally, I had to put my head together and come up with an idea.
And this is the result, is that right?
That's right, Wally.
Well, there isn't much here to describe to you, except that...
Well, I'll be back down in New York now, week Tuesday. I'll be loaded.
All right, well, they'll be looking for you.
Good. Water till we drown. I guess that wall smothered most of it.
I'm sorry about it, Mary, and on behalf of the whole staff.
Enough to keep things under control here, Lieutenant.
I know that they're...
Is there anything I can do, Lieutenant?
So, for Turhan Baymay, amid this sad picture...
Sanchez!
This is Radio's Wally Ballou, returning up to New York.
Thank you, Wally. And a beautiful account of Mary Magoon's insurance fire at Turhan Bay, Maine.
Well, it's too bad she has had very bad luck with that inn since it opened. And this may be the answer. I don't think she's cut out for that kind of work.
It's time for 1 minute, please. I think we have just about 50 seconds to play 1 minute, please.
All right. Do we have anyone who'd like to play it?
I'd be delighted to play it. Is that the famous game that Bob and Ray have been conducting on radio for almost 44 years?
Yes, it is. And we now have about 20 seconds to play 1 minute, please.
All right.
Take your subject there.
Now, I reach into this hat. Oh, who put that in?
Oh, I see that. Your subject, sir, is watermelon.
Well, watermelon is almost 98% water, and it's loaded with seeds, and it grows in the warmest.
Very good. I think that's about all the time we have, but you'll get your prize.
And who put that in a hat? Well,
that was very too bad. I'm sorry that happened. We have a first aid kit in the studio. And we'll have somebody nice to say hello to you in just 10 seconds.
tomorrow, here's somebody nice.
Greetings.
And until tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding reminding you all to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
This is the CBS Radio Network.